Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, gang. Welcome back to Taking It Outdoors. We're talking turkey today. This morning's broadcast is made possible thanks to Johnston RV Country. 28 years of creating generations of family fun there in Webster, Palmyra, and online at jrvcountry.com. Victor Chevrolet, Route 96 in the heart of Victor. Flaherty's Macedon and Bill Gray's Restaurant make this program possible. I'm happy to have back in the studio local hunting instructor and turkey hunting pro staffer John Arneth, made the trip in from Leroy today. Happy to have him in the studio. Now, John has been a big turkey hunter, done his seminars, but you're also involved in calling competitions as a caller or as a judge.
You know, I used to be... When I was younger, I used to do some competition calling. Got into that because I wanted to force myself to practice to become a better turkey hunter by becoming a better caller. And in that world, you know, if you don't want to embarrass yourself in front of a room full of people, you know, you better practice. So forced me to get better. And you know, so it was great. You know, had some success there. You know, calling contest, unfortunately, in a lot of ways went away a little bit in New York State. You know, we used to have an unbelievable state championship where tons of guys from Pennsylvania and other states had come up. There was big payouts. I mean, there was unbelievable in the days of Jim Pollard and Matt Van Sice and Damon Davis and, you know, Brian Gulvis had come up and all these guys from Pennsylvania. And it was unreal. They're kind of trying to rectify that now. They're doing it at Bass Pro Shop in Auburn, which is a nice setting for it. You know, you used to have a couple hundred people watching, and you don't really get that anymore. The payouts aren't quite what they once were. So now I judge. I don't call too much anymore. I may next year go back into it because they've added some divisions, but I definitely do some judging now.
Is there money in it?
You know, there's money if you're at a big national level, not so much at the state level. If you start to call in those big, the world championships, grand nationals, some of those, you know, there's another contest down south, Yellville. A lot of them are down south. I think there's another one called the Midwest Open. If you're calling those big contests at a national level, you know, if you place, there's some money in it, but, you know, you're not going to get rich.
How's it work, though? I know I've seen waterfowl calling competitions.
Sure.
And those guys that get up on the stage and they'll do these 90-second rolling feed calls that are just elaborate. It's like a Mozart composition.
Sure.
There's so many notes in it.
Sure.
You do that in the blind, ain't a one bird going to come in on you.
Right.
So is the calling done in a competition the same as you would do in the field?
No, it's a little different. It's definitely a little different. You know, certain contests, they will add some things. You know, if they ask for a yelp, you know, at the state level, you're kind of just doing that yelp that they ask for. If you're at the big, you know, if you're at the World Championships or the Grand Nationals in Nashville, those guys are adding things in there too. You know, it's not quite as dramatic as those waterfowling competitions, you know. Yeah. It's a little bit different. You know, it is a little bit different, but not like the waterfowl contest.
You mentioned divisions a moment ago. Were you talking like age and experience, or were you talking variety of calls, like a slate competition, a box competition, call?
Divisions would be like the owl hooting division would be a division. Then there's a friction division, and then there's an open division. So, yeah, they're going to bring back the owl division here in New York this year, and I used to do that and did very well in years ago. So that'd probably be a division I might get back into, as well as a friction division, those two divisions.
Well, can you kind of give me a demonstration? You got a bunch of stuff laid out on the table. If I was at a turkey calling competition, show me something I might hear.
You know, you'd probably hear some cluck and purrs oftentimes. That will be, you know, usually a contest will have four or five calls that they will designate that they're going to ask you for. You know, there's an MC. He will, you know, he might say cutting of an excited hen, and you would, you know, you would run through several series of some cutting, and then, you know, you'd nod to him, and then he'd call the next call. So you
got to react to him.
Absolutely. They're telling you what to do, and you do that.
Not everybody gets up there and does the same five things.
No, everybody gets up there and does the same five things. Each division will have the same exact calls.
Oh, I got you.
So every guy, so you're comparing on a score sheet each guy. So, you know, a cluck and purr would be a...
Okay.
Real soft call. You know, oftentimes when I'm doing it in the woods, I actually bury the call against my leg. Couldn't do that here with the microphone, but it's a real dead sounding call, real soft call that a hen would make when she's kind of a content call, when she's feeding her long or they're just kind of moving along and she's content. They'll do those little clucks and purrs. You would also might ask for an excited hen yelp in a competition where it's a little bit of a longer call and a little bit louder and a little more excited vocalism to it than a plain hen yelp, and that would sound like this.
Get right up on that mic.
That would be one plain yelp right there, or an excited hen yelp. And in a competition or in a hunting, I might add a couple of cuts to the beginning or to the end or in the middle of that. A real loud, barky, a little bit more emotion to it than just a plain hen yelp, which would sound like this. A little shorter. Little shorter, a little bit more subdued, a little more relaxed type thing. They might all also ask for a fly down cackle. Now, at the Grand Nationals, they would have a very, very, very elaborate run when they do that. They would start off with those light clucks. They would start off with those very light tree calls. And then they would move into some almost sounds like cutting, but it's him setting, it's that hen setting up for that fly down cackle. So that would be one call that would be very elaborate in a contest that you may not do as much in the real hunting woods. But a fly down cackle would sound like this. That she actually does that when she pitches out of the tree. She'll make that. They don't always make that noise. I mean, I've watched a ton of hens over the years, you know, fly down and never make a peep.
You'll also
do that.
You also might hear some flailing about because they're not so graceful when they decide.
No, terrible. And I actually carry a fake turkey wing with me, and I will use that a lot in that early morning time. I'll also use it later on in the morning where I'll flap it as I do a crow call because it sounds like the wings of a crow flapping their wings as they fly, so it adds realism.
You're trying to shock call by flapping a dead turkey wing?
Nope, not to shock call. I just setting up that lifelike realism. Okay. With a crow call, I might flap it.
You're painting a picture.
Yep, absolutely. And I would do it also, you know, in the morning time sometimes. I might not necessarily do a tree call or fly down cackle, but I might literally flap that wing to make him think a hen just flew down over there. I might do that.
When you just did that long run back there, that sounds like what I do exactly in my head.
Sure.
But my friends bust my chops. I don't know what I'm so I don't know what's good or not. All I know is if I get a bird down and in my belly, I called it in all right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, also, by the way, our guest in studio, John Arneth, he's a turkey hunting instructor and pro staffer for several companies, including Lodge Creek Calls. Is that what you're striking there, Lodge Creek?
It is. They're all Lodge Creek calls. That's correct.
Now, in the woods, and I hate to keep making duck hunting analogies, but that's my base of knowledge here. When I'm in the duck blind, 95% of the calls I make, I'm imitating a hen.
Sure.
A mallard hen whatever species I'm after. Is the same said for turkey calling?
Generally speaking, yeah. I would definitely, I don't gobble much. You know, I just, you know, those gobbler shaker tubes they make, some of them sound okay. You know, you could pique some aggression maybe if you did set that scenario up. You'd kind of want to be careful that there was, obviously, you wouldn't do that on public property. You know, if you had your own property that you maybe felt pretty confident you were, you know, you didn't have anybody else in there. There were times when you gobble. I mean, I don't personally. You know, I rely on probably 98% of my calls being hen calls. You can gobbler yelp. You know, a gobbler yelp is a much longer, drawn out yelp. You know, when you make your yelp of a hen, the circle on the call is all very similar size-wise. You know, if you looked at that circle, a gobbler yelp would just be a much bigger, slower circle. It's a little bit of a slower yelp. It's not as fast as a hen yelp. It would sound a little bit better on a slate call. I do not have a slate call, but I'll do one on a crystal call, and it's just a little bit of a slower one. I'll do a hen yelp first, and then I'll follow it up with a gobbler yelp. You can tell it's just a much slower rolling yelp. It's not as long as a hen yelp either. It's a little, you know, 3-4 note yelp. You know, will I do that? No, not really. I mean, I'm pretty much relying on my hen calls at that point.
Good stuff. John Arneff, our guest. Thunder Chickens is the topic on the board today. We continue next right here at Taking It Outdoors, 92.5 WBEE. Gobble, gobble, gobble. We're talking turkeys this morning. Welcome to Taking It Outdoors. Our guest in studio, turkey hunting instructor John Arneff. Hundreds of turkey seminars under his belt, and he is here today giving us all some tips. He's a pro staffer for several companies, which include Lodge Creek Calls. He just demonstrated some of them here in the last segment. Maybe we'll get to some more here in just a second. This morning's program is made possible thanks to Johnston RV Country. 28 years of creating generations of family fun. They're in Webster, Palmyra, and online at jrvcountry.com. Thank you to Victor Chevrolet, Route 96 in the heart of Victor. Also, Flaherty's Macedon and Bill Gray's Restaurants. Okay, I know the calls there. I know what's a turkey call, John, and what isn't a turkey call over there. I imagine those that aren't turkey calls are shot calls, right?
That's correct. I have an owl hooter and it's called a raptor night owl from Lodge Creek, and then a crow call.
For somebody that's eavesdropping in on this conversation, or maybe they're a novice turkey hunter, explain to them what exactly a shot call is and what your goal is.
Owls and crows are natural enemies of turkeys. So oftentimes any, you know, potentially, you know, those two calls would make a turkey gobble. Also, you know, you could hear train whistles. I've heard train whistles make turkeys gobble. I've heard, you know, thunder make turkeys gobble. Train whistles, car door slamming, you name it. You know, I've heard tractors, you know, backing up with the alarm sound to make them gobble, you know, in farm country. So lots of different noises will make them make that shot gobble. But, you know, frequently the most you'd use, you know, during turkey season would be a crow and an owl type call. I also sometimes would use a pileated woodpecker call.
Why are crows and owls such enemies of the turkey?
Because a crow or an owl would try and kill, especially a younger turkey. Crows will destroy turkey nests. You know, you get it sometimes a flock of birds out in a field, crows will mess with them, you know, fly over their heads, you know, making a racket. You know, they don't love each other, that's for sure. And owls, you know, the same thing. An owl would feed on a younger turkey especially.
About that nest, that's part of the reason we can only hunt them till noon.
That's
but
correct.
As I've walked through the woods, I've never seen a turkey nest. Where do they tend to hide?
They really, you know, a lot of times in brushy spots, really low brushy spots next to fields, because once she starts to really lay and incubate those eggs, she doesn't really travel much. Her travel patterns get really, really minimized at that time. So oftentimes I think it's in brushier areas closer to fields where they can pop out, grab some food, get back in. And then it's also a spot where once they do hatch, you know, she can take them out there to have some, you know, grasshoppers and things and pop back into safety quick.
When do they start dropping eggs?
You know, depending upon the weather, you know, you get late May into June, you know, more or less June, they'll start to, you know, get to that time. Maybe it was an early spring. You might even get it late May, potentially, but typically June.
And she'll sit on them all day, fly up in the tree overnight?
You know, what she'll do is she'll kind of get the spot ready, and then as she starts to drop them, you know, little by little by little, before she's nesting, yeah. I mean, I think for when they're all laid, she'll really start to incubate them. Yeah.
Dumb question here.
And then she'll all night long. Even at night, she'll stay right on them.
I'm embarrassed to ask this, but do turkeys drop unfertilized eggs all through the woods all year long, like a chicken does?
I don't believe so. No, no. I think they're fertilized from the moment in May when they bred, and then when that egg is laid, I'm pretty sure she's, you know, ready to go at that point with a fertile egg.
All right, right on. I did, because the eggs we eat from Wegmans, they're unfertilized eggs, right, from chickens?
I'm not a chicken farmer. It's a good question, yeah.
Well, what are you doing? Man, I thought you were the avian.
I'm a turkey hunter. I'm not a biologist.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
All right. That's all the time we got for John today. We're going to have to, just kidding.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Let's get back to these shot calls.
Sure.
All right, the crow and the owl.
Sure.
Public enemy number one of our thunder chickens.
Yep.
Now, I want to use, what do you have in your hand there?
I have an owl hooter right here. So I would typically use that earlier in the morning when they're still on the roost. I don't use it typically after that. I haven't had much luck owl hooting after they've flown down. So I'll, like any call, I'll start off soft and subtle, and I might build intensity. If I can get another owl going somewhere in the woods, oftentimes, then, you know, you can hoot back and forth to an owl. That only makes it better. You know, if you can get an owl going, you know, especially in places further south where there's more owls, you know, you could sit back there and hoot back and forth to an owl, and he might do that job for you. So I would typically start off with that 8-note hoot that a barred owl would make. They said back in the day, they used to say, who cooks for you? Who cooks for you all? That's kind of what you're huffing into that call. So that's what this would sound like. I might just do one of those and sit and listen, kind of let the woods wake up, see if anything answers, see if an owl answers. I might even sit there 5-10 minutes. It's still pretty dark out. You know, he might not answer, and then I might do a laugh of a barred owl, and I might do this. One of those right there, just that short note burst. That might make him gobble. Typically by that, if that hasn't worked, you know, and I don't have any other owls going, I might not owl hoot again. You know, in a competition setting, you know, you would really get on that owl call like you would see in a waterfowl contest. Sure. Like, it would sound like this. Something like that. Like, you would never do that in the turkey woods, potentially, but in a competition setting, you might do that.
Yeah, it almost sounds like you just murdered an elk.
Almost, yeah. Yeah, almost.
Now, what's the cadence? What am I saying?
Who cooks for you? Who cooks for you all? I'm not exactly sure what Southerner came up with that, but I guarantee it was someone south of the Mason-Dixon line way back in Alabama or Georgia came up with that cadence way back when.
No matter what you're calling, I mean, in duck calling, you know, you say words through your call. In goose calling, you say words through your call. It's a reference, not so much for saying the word, but the force of air, the position you hold your mouth in. Now, we got time for one more shot call demonstration here. Let's move over to the crow. This is the one I use.
Yep.
I just have a super cheap Walmart Primo's Power Crow.
Sure.
That's all I use.
Sure.
Is that good enough?
You know, yeah, it would get the job done. I mean, anytime you go to a custom call, you're going to start to get up on some better sound quality. There's going to be some tuning involved. You're going to have different materials, better quality reeds. It's all going to sound a little better. You know, guys have really done a lot of work trying to really hone that call to make it sound good with barrel length, call length, you know, inside diameter. There's a lot of different things they do. So this would be a call where, you know, the owner, Lodge Creek, really has put a lot of time into really trying to get some really nice crow calls.
All right, this is a crow shot call.
So same thing, I would start off a little bit subtle. You know, if I had a partner with me, I might have him stand a little further away from me. I'd probably start with 3 short bursts. three short bursts, kind of sit back. If that works, you know, maybe you get some crows going, maybe not, you know, listen. Then I might go into something more a little dramatic. Really get that crow fired up, and you almost can't make a mistake on that. I mean, you know, crows don't sound awesome. Turkey's not going to know any better. You know, trying to get those crows fired up, crows will do that at will, and then I just sit back and I'll let them, you know, I might even try and call in a couple crows to my position, you know, and then I'll get them going, and before you know it, they're flying all over the place making a racket, and then you just sit back and let them do it.
Man, John, I've learned so much from you, not only in this visit, but the one before. I think I'm ready to go, man. I'm super excited. Now I just got to, you know, plan out the day. Turkey hunt till noon, bass fish till sunset.
Yeah, there you go, and you'll be dusted by dinner time.
He is John R. Neff, turkey hunting instructor from Leroy, a pro staffer for many companies, including Lodge Creek Calls. We continue next right here at Taking It Outdoors, 92.5 WBEE. Welcome to Taking It Outdoors. We are joined in studio right now by Daryl Morgan from Bentley Brothers Kubota in Brockport and Albion. Save a horse, ride a Kubota. How are you, Daryl?
Oh, doing fantastic, buddy. Doing fantastic.
New money, new sponsor on the show. Welcome aboard. I appreciate you believing in this program we got here. I hope this can be the beginning of a great partnership moving forward. And Bentley Brothers, they have all the tools you need to do anything. I'm talking food plots today, and I know you got the stuff I need over there. How long have you been with Bentley Brothers?
I've been with them about 7 years now, and you are right. We do have quite a good selection of a lot of tools or toys, as some people will call them, that really are going to help you to do everything you need to do outdoors.
This morning's program made possible by Johnston RV Country. 28 years of creating generations of family fun. They're in Webster, Palmyra, and online at jrvcountry.com. Thank you to Victor Chevrolet, Route 96 in the heart of Victor, Flaherty's Macedon, and Bill Gray's Restaurants, and the aforementioned Bentley Brothers Kubota in Brockport and Albion. Save a horse, ride a Kubota. So, Daryl, the spectrum of tractors that you guys offer range from what to what?
We get into everything from small lawn and garden tractors, which of course aren't going to do a lot for food plots, but let's face it, got to get the around the house chores done before you can get out into the woods. And we go up to the big agricultural tractors that honestly are more farm oriented than food plot. But right in the middle there, that's where we want to focus on the sweet spot. That's where you get into your mid-range, loader-capable tractors that are absolutely everything and everything you need for the woods and your food plots.
Yeah, I'm not planting 250 acres of soybeans. I may be planting a third of acre of soybeans, maybe another third of clover. So I'm looking for something that's really versatile for me. And obviously, I don't have $400,000 to plop down on one of the ones I want. But something that's versatile that I could cultivate, I could sow, even maybe put a fertilizing attachment on it. What do you have for me?
Well, the Kubota L series is kind of a nice sweet spot where you get into that 25 to 40 horsepower mid-range tractor, four-wheel drive definitely. Around here, especially with the wet weather, we're no shy on mud. You got to be able to get into the woods, but more importantly, you got to be able to get out of the woods when you're done. Again, we talked about loaders a little bit. Before you can plant the food plots, you got to clear the area for the food plots. So brush, debris, stumps, rocks, a lot of the stuff you don't want to have to go out there and use your own hands to move stuff. I mean, let's face it, that's why we're buying a tractor. Let's make these jobs easier. So we can equip these tractors with the necessary tools to get those jobs done a lot easier, plus a lot faster.
Do you need a loader? I mean, because you got some cannons, dude. How much do you bench?
Well, you know, it's we like to still, you know, like, let the tractor have a little bit of the fun, buddy.
He lifts them up when they got to do tire service on the thing. No jacks at Bentley Brothers. Holy smoke. So one unit, I can do all of those things. I got the loader on the front. What if I need a brush hog or a mowing piece?
Oh, definitely. I mean, after you clear out the debris from the land, if you got tall grass or, let's say, sumac, briar bushes, that's all got to be eliminated before you can start even prepping the ground with the intent of doing the food plot. So rotary cutter, we call it in the industry, is going to be perfect for that tool.
He is Daryl Morgan of Bentley Brothers Kubota. They have two stores in our listening area in Brockport and Albion. What's up with the boy? How old is he now?
He's 14 months, man. Can you believe that?
Nice. What about Owen? How's he doing?
His voice ain't like you heard it on the radio no more, man.
That's too cool, man. I did a remote out at your Brockport store. This is probably 5-6 years ago at this point. And he was just a little tyke running around there. And I still remember him from those commercials. Absolutely adorable. Now, there's a saying when it comes to food plots, you can't just throw it and grow it. You know, like you mentioned before, and we touched on the different tools that make this job easier, and cultivating and sowing and even fertilizing moving forward. But even then, you got to make sure your dirt's good, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you can do it or you can do it well, we like to say. So the big thing we want to touch base on here is pH level. That's going to determine how good your crops grow. And it's not as tough as people make it out to be. You can honestly, through your local Cornell cooperative, get the test kits or even bring the dirt in yourself and have it tested. That way you can achieve optimum pH level and really get some good results from all your hard labor.
Do you guys sell, like, combines, too?
We don't quite get into that stuff, but for the food plots, you're not really looking for combines.
No.
You want that crop there when the farmers have combined.
No, I know that. I'm an avid player of Farming Simulator 2017.
It's fantastic, buddy.
Do you play that game?
Oh, you got to in this industry.
How come Kubota isn't on that game?
It's the European market hasn't embraced it as much anymore, but trust me, I'm waiting for that mod to come out. You better believe it.
I know. I got to field the beans. I got to thrash, but it was raining, so I had to put it on pause before I came to work. Hopefully I can get home before they wilt.
Oh, can't have angry cows in that game, buddy.
Man, I got like $11 million in the bank on that game. I'm
there
rolling
you go.
In it. He is Daryl Morgan. Do you really play that game or are you flattering me?
Seriously, you can't in this industry not play a little. That's tractor therapy, buddy. When you can't get out into the real stuff, you got to make do with what you got.
Yeah, I asked my farming buddies, hey, man, you ever play Farming Simulator? And they're like, no, I do the real thing, dude. Do you ever play Radio Simulator? All right, you got a point. All right, Daryl Morgan is our guest from Bentley Brothers Kubota. Again, their stores are in Brockport and Albion. We continue the conversation next right here at 92.5 WBEE. Welcome back to Taking It Outdoors. Today's conversation is centered around food plots. Right now in the studio from Bentley Brothers Kubota, we have Daryl Morgan as we continue to talk about the food plots and making the labor easier for you. Instead of you sweating, we're going to make this equipment work for you. This morning's program made possible by Johnston RV Country, 28 years of creating generations of family fun. They are in Webster, Palmyra, and online at jrvcountry.com. Victor Chevrolet, Route 96 in the heart of Victor, Flaherty's Macedon and Bill Gray's Restaurants, and new sponsor, that's right, Bentley Brothers Kubota in Brockport and Albion. Save a horse, ride a Kubota. Were y'all saying that before Big and Rich?
And we kind of tagged on right at the end there, but we made a small modification, we feel, just improves the thing a little bit.
To avoid the cease and desist?
Exactly. I don't sing it as well as them either, let me tell you.
I'm picking up what you're laying down. Daryl Morgan from Bentley Brothers Kubota. We talked a lot about tractors in the last segment, but what can you tell me about the UTVs Kubota makes?
Well, we call it RTVs, which is a rugged terrain vehicle. And yes, you do have to drop your voice an octave when you say that, right. It just completes the tagline.
You're going to need a new host. That's as deep as I get here.
We'll work with it. But that's the good vehicle for getting the large things out to the field, or more importantly, that deer back out of it. With the impressive payload capacities and four-wheel drive, that's your do-it-all kind of vehicle. That's a nice addition to a tractor in a lot of applications.
Well, tell me about the machine. What kind of horsepowers do they offer? What's the
claim
payload?
To fame we have is our RTV 900, and that's our diesel-powered, direct-drive, hydraulic dump workhorse. Oh, yeah, it's just a beautiful thing. Half-ton payload capacity, factory spray-in bed liner available, one-lever hydraulic dump, so literally it takes the work out of yard work.
Fantastic. I've seen and been in you know, a lot of other makes and manufacturers. But I was on your website checking out what you guys had to offer in the side-by-side. Check that RTV department
there
over
you
there.
Go.
So I wanted to make sure I brought that up today. It's that time of year, too, where a lot of us are out making improvements to the land we hunt, working on the improving the habitat, enhancing the properties that we hunt. And for me personally and a lot of my friends, that a lot of that involves, you know, cutting down some trees, letting a little more light into the woods so the undergrowth can have more life to it. And then, you know, fancy up the bedding areas and stuff like that. So as far as chainsaws goes, who do y'all sell?
We carry Steel and Echo for chainsaws, both real good premium brands with a wide product offering. So depending if you're doing the occasional, we'll call it shooting lane clearing, or if like a lot of people after this past windstorm, you have some large trees down, you know, we can set you up with the right piece of equipment to make that job easier.
Now, where does the Steel MS-170 fit into the spectrum of chainsaws that y'all sell?
That's kind of the entry-level saw. It's it's a fantastic power-to-weight ratio. I mean, you can work all day with it, nice and light. You don't feel fatigued. You know, where some of the bigger saws, you got to have a little bit of oomph behind you. You know, it may wear you out a little faster, buddy.
You want to guess which model I have in my garage?
I'd like to say you're maybe a 250, 290 kind of guy, but let's be honest here. You're probably a 170, 14-inch bar kind of.
How do you think I knew the model?
it's you know, there's nothing wrong with a powder puff right. Chainsaw, buddy.
I'm going to, you know, eat a couple steaks and maybe work my way up to that rancher model if I can do that. Now, Kubota versus other makes of tractors, just like vehicles, just like bows, guns, you got a bunch of options. Why is Kubota different from other brands?
Well, obviously, I'm a little partial to the orange paint, buddy, so I'm going to tell you why I think Kubota is going to be your best bet, but I don't want to paint the wrong picture that the other brands are junk. That's not what it's all about. The thing that sets Kubota apart is we've got a commitment to quality, which is evidenced in the all-steel construction of the hood and fenders. You get that integrity, that longevity out of it. You get some easy-to-use features, so depending on who's operating it, if you've got younger children, if your wife's going to hop on there and help out a little bit, anyone can get on there, feel at home, feel comfortable on it. Not to mention, it's something you're going to make an investment in. You want it to last a very long time, and because it's got that Kubota quality to it, you're going to have it for years and years to come.
Now, since I got angel hair arms and use the MS-170 chainsaw, I don't like moving the lumber after I cut it around. So what about some attachments to help me out with that? Say, I can't burn the stuff after I cut it down. Do you have, you know, stuff that'll mulch it up, log splitters?
Oh, yeah, we can definitely set you up with all that stuff. So out in the woods, after you cut up the trees, you got to move the big pieces and you got to do something with a brush. Big pieces is where what we call a grapple comes into play. It attaches to the loader itself and hydraulically has, we're going to call it a claw, that'll actually grab the logs. You can pick them up using the loader, all from the comfort of the operator's platform. Now the brush and stuff like that, which you don't want cluttering around in the woods, that we have a chipper that would go on the back of the tractor. As that brush feeds into it, out comes mulch, just like you'd get at your local hardware store, which is fantastic for laying on your walking paths and stuff. So you get a multiple benefit there as well.
You guys rent?
We do get into rental a little bit. So for some people, it doesn't make sense to purchase it. It's something you're going to use once or twice, and then you're kind of done with it. So yeah, we definitely get into some rental.
Fantastic. He is Daryl Morgan of Bentley Brothers Kubota. They have two stores in our listening area, one in Brockport, the other in Albion. And so when I'm there, you've probably noticed through the course of this interview that I'm an uneducated consumer. You have somebody there that'll help me make the right decision, not just try to sell me something?
Oh, definitely. That's actually what we're there for. We have a lot of people that come in and we encourage them to ask a lot of questions, and you can't ask a bad question. You know, there's a lot of tractor options, not just different brands, but even within Kubota, we've got a wide spectrum of horsepower options, drivetrain options that can almost make it confusing. So we really encourage people to come in, sit on the machines, tell us what you're doing with it. we find a lot of people almost go at it backwards. They start with what tractor am I going to get, then try to figure out what they can do with it. And man, we want you to figure out what you want to do with it and then let us set you up with the tractor to get those jobs done.
You hunt?
I don't actually, believe
it
or not.
Get out of here.
I love the byproduct of it, but man, I got to tell you, to have the patience to get up in the morning, get out in the woods early in the day, cover yourself in doe piss, and hope to get a steak.
Okay. I'll have to beep that.
I got respect for you, but man, I just can't wrap my head around it.
That's a word I don't think's ever been said on this station before.
Hey, you know, like you said, we are a new sponsor, and buckle up.
Yeah, what are you going to leave? Yeah, he's going to get mad at himself and not advertise on the show because of the language. Too funny. You never hear Terry Clifford say that on her Sunday show. Awesome. Daryl Morgan, man, you've been a riot. I thank you for all the education that have given me or us today. I wish you well. Online, you're easy to find at
BentleyBrosInc.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.